This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Two down, two strikes in the bottom of the ninth inning. Story waits, Martin throws, swing and a miss. He got him with a cut fastball, and the inning and ball game are over. Another super frustrating night for the Red Sox, who've lost 5 of 6. They are again below 500. 6-1 Rangers.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons, live from our Ford Fenway studios at Fenway Park. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. That was the voice of Will Fleming. And much like Joe Castiglione, you could hear just the pure disappointment in his voice with that final call. Final out of the inning, final out of the game. 6-1 loss to the Rangers. Just a check-in, I believe that's now 4-1 the Texas Rangers are against the Boston Red Sox this year.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was this guy that pitched against them, World Series
hero
from 2018, yeah. Nate Eovaldi.
How come we can't get guys, like that?
You got to say that like Bob Lobel. Hey, how come we can't get guys
actually
like
that? Tried this offseason. He's like, you know what? I like the Rangers. I'll stick with the Rangers.
I'm very comfortable where I am. I'm also comfortable beating your ass every time I pitch against
also him. Doing historic things. I owe him a quick apology here off the top here on WEEI Afternoons because opening day, I said, Crochet, we got an ace. All you got is a Nathan Eovaldi, middle of his career. Good. And now he's been the absolute ace for the Rangers. Putting up his whip is like 0.78 or 0.8 or something silly going into yesterday. He's striking people out. He's just pitching. Listening last night, listening to Lenny DiNardo on our airwaves talk about how he just pounds the strike zone. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest workers you'll ever see. And then on the flip side, you got the Boston Red Sox.
Holy smokes. 3-2, 2 ERA, 53 strikeouts, a 0.8 whip on the season. It does beg the curious question, gentlemen.
It's been that way for the last few years.
Oh, yeah, no, he's good. He doesn't get the credit. And I'm here to tell you, I'm proof that he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that gets lumped into the curious category over the last 15 years. What was the impetus for moving on from or not trying like hell to retain him?
No solution.
I can't remember what the problem was or what the, you know, what the reluctancy should have been.
Just think he's
I don't know. What do they got? Chris, because they had Chris L on the roster and they weren't getting their bang for their buck.
Two aces.
So that scared him.
Yeah, flip side of that is Lucas Giolito. Kind of the bottom fell out. 3 2/3 innings, 6 runs allowed. 8.38 ERA for Giolito at this point, and
that was my area code growing.
More losing, 3 losses in a row. You're now a sub 500 baseball team at 18-19.
Not since the beginning of the season against the Rangers were they
April 15th. Yep.
So you now have, I would safe to say, more questions than answers because the pitching staff we can't quite get a hold on. The bullpen. Can't quite get a hold on. The first base situation, can't quite get a hold on. The one thing we do know is this ball club is going to strike out a lot. Another game last night with a dozen strikeouts. Just that's who they are. It's what they do.
Of the three kind of big issues with this team, whether it be starting pitching, you know, the bullpen or hitting, you know, at least, you know, up until last night, 16 games in a row where the starters had gone 5-plus innings.
Yeah.
And then until last night. So, okay, the starting pitching started to look pretty good. And then at the beginning of the season, it was our bullpen that was our strength. And now it's been falling apart. And I just feel like the hitting all season long is been the biggest issue for this Red Sox team.
But the crazy thing about that was, correct me if I'm wrong, a week ago they were leading the American League in runs scored.
Yes.
And that, so a team that's having offensive inconsistency – leading the American League.
But that's not, it's like, you know,
top heavy.
Totally Bantakan getting five sacks on the Colts because they had the terrible left tackle.
You know, wow.
Wow.
Throwing shade at Tully BB Kane.
Catching
up,
a stray.
That's it. I guess Ted is not going to be auditioning for the beach football league.
I mean, the bad team, they've had some games where they drilled teams. And so it's that stat is a little wonky. What they've been consistently, basically leading the league in is strikeouts all season long. They've led in strikeouts pretty much the whole Major League Baseball season.
So we're obviously going to have a lot of Red Sox talk today. We'll talk to Alex Cora just about 10 minutes from now at 2:15. Going to have to ask him about the Devers first base situation, Tristan Casas, the injury, the velocity decline for Crochet. And the biggest issue for me, talking about the team, Ted, pitching, hitting, their identity, they think they're a good baseball team. They've said that over and over, whether it's Craig Breslow or Alex Cora. They think they're a good baseball team. But what is it you'd say you do that is the foundation of why you are good? And the inconsistencies in various areas, I don't know what they say. This is our money. This is what we fall back on when we need something. We're going to score enough runs, or we're going to shut down the opposite. We're going to play great defense. It's like nothing is the foundation of what should be a good ball club.
What gives you faith that this team is as good as you think? And I know part of that is that's just part of the gig. You got to kind of fake it till you make it. But, you know, if you truly feel like you have a team that is a good baseball team, what evidence is there that you've seen so far that gives you that confidence moving forward?
And the flip side is, at what point, and I heard Craig Breslow say this last week, that on the Greg Hill Show, about a third of the way through the season is when you start to accept you know what your team is, you start to think about what you need to acquire and change, because
and
you can keep saying you're good.
Yep.
But the standings and the performances, when I watch you lose 6-1 and strike out 12 times, and that says you're not good. That says you're not as good as you think you are.
That tracks with
make it till you make it or remake it. Decide to make decisions and look to the minors or look to fill some voids, do some different things with the major league club, something.
Well, we'll have to ask the manager in just a few minutes how much longer they think they can wait to call up the kids from the minors, because this team overall, I would say defensively, offensively, pitching, every aspect of this team right now could use a spark.
Yeah.
They look a little lifeless right now.
There is no identity.
They look helpless. That's the biggest problem.
Somebody's held a gun to my head and say, you need to bet on them being good tonight against the Rangers. They're going to be awesome in one area. What would you do to save your life, stake your life on it?
That's not a bad way to kind of put it.
Is the pitching going to be great?
Yeah, it takes out the long-term.
I don't know.
Which focus, Hauk are we going to get?
Which I think they are. They're focused. It feels like a long-term kind of deal here, and they don't want to show that they are panicked or rushing or that things are going awry this soon in the season. So bringing the guy up, you know, there's a domino effect that occurs. And so it's not just affecting a one-for-one. There's going to be multiple guys affected by bringing up a young guy.
And it will get a lot of attention, for better or worse. And then the other issue is, if you play that card 37 games into the season and it doesn't work, which to me is a lot of pressure. I don't care how good Marcelo Meyer is or Roman Anthony is. So bring them up and say, he's supposed to be the spark of the Boston Red Sox. It's not Story. It's not Bregman. It's not Devers. We're just going to put it all on this kid who's good, talented, but has never done it before. That seems unfair. And also, if it doesn't work, well, then what's the next card you play 10 days later, 12 days later, 3 weeks later, when you're still scuffling along?
You got to play something. You can't just sit on your cards all season long.
So we'll get into a lot of those questions with Alex Cora, and then we'll react to his answers, give you our own opinions. It is also game two night at TD Garden. Boston Celtics down 0-1 to the New York Knicks. New York, Boston. We want Boston. Well, you got Boston. You beat Boston.
We need three more.
We need to keep shooting threes, or do we need to shoot less threes? We're going to get into that because Tim Legler had an epic four-minute rant that we will break down. And he's an NBA guy. He's an analytics guy. He's an eyeballs guy. He squeezes a lot into one comment. We'll also talk to our buddy Brian Scalabrine, 4:30. He'll join us to give his input, his view of things. And he has predicted all year long that there'd be one-off games where they would shoot poorly and the other team might steal one. We saw one of those. Is he worried that another one of those could come? So we'll have Brian Scalabrine, 4:30. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox. Asked questions about Devers yesterday. I bet he gets asked questions about Devers in this studio. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, no Dan Ball today. So Nick Fitzy Stevens, give me what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Celtics look to avenge their stunning Eastern Conference semifinal Game 1 loss to the Knickerbockers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. once again. Sam Hauser is listed as doubtful with an ankle injury, while Kristaps Porzingis is probable with a non-COVID illness. Meanwhile, back here at friendly Fenway Park, it's been anything but friendly lately for the Red Sox, who look to end their three-game skid following last night's 6-1 defeat against old pal Nate Eovaldi and the Texas Rangers. Tanner Houck, 0-2 on the season with a 6.38 ERA, takes the hill against the Rangers' Tyler Mahle and his impressive 1.19 ERA. You can hear Will Fleming, hopefully a happier version of Will Fleming, and Lenny DiNardo on the call of the game. First pitch at 6:45 p.m. right here on the Shaw's in Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Christian Arcan anchoring the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show, of course, beforehand at 5:45. And in NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys are trading for Steelers wide receiver George Pickens, sending Pittsburgh a 2026 third and 2027 seventh, fifth round pick in exchange for the fourth year wideout and a 2027 sixth rounder. Meanwhile, the Jacksonville Jaguars have also released wide receiver Gabe Davis. Trending is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. This is your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Don't you go anywhere. The manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, joins WEEI Afternoons next.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, live at Fenway Park, and joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, how are we doing this week?
Doing okay.
Feels like a loaded question when I say that, right?
I'm doing okay.
We were just talking about good Chinese food and Mai Tais, so if you could get an order in here right now, that'd be great.
Distraction.
Yeah. Mai Tai Johnny.
So obviously, I heard you answer a couple questions yesterday about Rafi Devers and the possibility of playing first base with very short answers. No, you haven't talked to him about it. No, you don't plan to. So I guess my follow-up, not being there then, is why will you not talk to him about it? Why does he not make sense to be an option for first base after the Casas injury?
I think where we're at right now with him, you know, he's very comfortable with his role, right? And we asked him to do something in spring training that, as you guys know, he didn't agree in the beginning. And then little by little, he has embraced because he knows the quality of the player that we have at third base, where we at as a team. I always said that time is our best friend in situations like this. And you know, this is too recent. You know, like Tristan got hurt Saturday, you know, and we got some capable players. Romy's having a good season. Toro, you saw him yesterday. He put some good at bats. So I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation, but I think for now where we at, I like Rafi as a DH. I like him as my DH. You take away the first weekend of the season, he's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues, and he's doing an outstanding job.
You know, I guess just to follow that up, because you know Craig Breslow said basically alluded to the fact that all scenarios are on the table, and particularly about possibility of Rafi maybe playing first. So you just said it's not maybe a hard and fast kind of no at this point. So you're still open to possibly at a certain time down the road having Rafi maybe play first if that's what the team needs.
I mean, to be fair, you know, with the player, I think, like I said, he's getting used to this position and he's been really good. I know that people think that you just stick him at first and see what happens, you know? And I actually had a conversation with my brother today about different scenarios and all that. And if you think about it, there's three players. Well, everybody has to be involved in the game, right? Defensively, you have to. But the catcher, the pitcher, and the first baseman, they have to be locked in. And it's not that easy. You know, positioning is a lot different than in the past. I think in the past, you just say, okay, put him at first base and just catch throws. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at it, we play the first baseman off, and there's different alignments. You know, we can say, okay, Rafi's going to play first. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen in 5 days, you know. So there's a process, and it's a long process too. So, but like I said, for the player, to be fair with him, I think we're in a good spot with him where he's at mentally and with his process and, you know, getting used to what he's doing. And in my opinion, to throw something at him right now, it'll be very unfair.
So Casas is out for the season, and obviously doing well. Quick question on that. How's the recovery going so far?
Painful. You know, I talked to him yesterday. It's just so recent, right? I think the process started today as far as like the rehab. But one thing about him, man, is it's amazing. You know, like you talk to him and the first thing he talks is what happened on the field, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. How are you doing? That's right. The most important thing. He's in good hands. I think our trainers are one of the best, if not the best, in the big leagues, you know, and he'll be back whenever it is, you know, he'll be back and he's going to be okay.
But I imagine you guys are not just looking for a piecemeal solution to first base. You're looking for some sort of like long-term answer. I don't know if there's some sort of papal conclave that happens where you guys all get together and try to think about who's going to come over there at first, or if maybe you're going to give other guys consideration. Like, for example, have you talked to anybody else on staff, maybe a Trevor Story or Christian Campbell, since he's had a little positional versatility?
And No, we haven't done
nobody?
That. But one of the things, and then as you guys know, he works in sports and works in everything, right? You have conversations, you know,
sure.
And not everybody needs to know what's going on in there, right? And me and Craig, we have a lot of respect. We like working with each other. And I think the common goal here is to win the World Series. And we understand that there's a different team today than what it was Saturday, right? Before the season started, we were talking about Tristan Casas hitting fourth, playing first base, and hitting 35 home runs, right?
40, actually.
And 40, actually. 40. Yeah, 40. And he's not going to be able to do that. So we have to make adjustments. It doesn't have to be right now. We'll explore every option, and then we'll make decision based on the team.
So you mentioned that it is fresh, and it doesn't have to be right now, but do you put a goal like out there by this, you know, by midseason, I want to have that position settled, or do you just sort of roll with the nightly punches?
Well, I'll tell you what, if Romy Gonzalez still hitting 350, then he's the answer, easy, right? He's a good defender. He's a good athlete. You know, the one thing about this, obviously, the negative, we don't have Tristan, you know, the hitter, the power. If we're going to take something positive out of this bad situation, Romy's very athletic. We can be more aggressive running the bases. He's a good defender. And he's actually putting good at bat. So hopefully he's the answer, you know, and we don't have to explore any other venue. But, you know, we'll keep talking about it.
Alex, changing gears just a little bit. You know, so far, 4-9 in one run game. So not where you want. Over the weekend against Minnesota, a couple bunts that were effective. Is that maybe a prelude to maybe more, you know, small ball or a shift in philosophy when it comes to those tight games that you've been in?
Well, especially with the top four hitters that we have. You know, the close games, you have to win. We talk about you have to win the games that you have to win, right? And if you go to Cleveland, we were up 3-0 in Tanner's outing. We lost that game.
Yep.
We lost the 2 in Toronto. We lost 1 against Minnesota. The hammy bunt was on his own, and he's very dynamic. He actually – something we've been talking about to him for a while, man. Like, when you run like that, you can avoid the 0-10, 0-14. You just drop one down, and probably you're going to be safe at first. There were 2 sack bunts over the weekend, just trying to maximize the top of the lineup. I know they brought a lefty for Jaron and Rafi, but I truly believe that those three up there, with men in scoring position, they should cash in, right? And obviously, we're not swinging the bat the way we're capable. If you look at us, we're very inconsistent. We are. You know, we score 10, we score 1, we score 7, we don't score. And it's been going on early in the season. So maximizing opportunities is something that, you know, last weekend I look at it and we have to do it, you know. But whenever we get going offensively, then we just let them do their thing, and we can score runs in bunches.
Consistently inconsistent was the line I gave you a couple of weeks ago about how the season's been thus far, and it seems to be ebbing and flowing like that as well. And earlier, just cut to 2 weeks ago, Slayton was dropping the hook late in games, looked unhittable. My guy Garrett Whitlock, just I always call him right-handed Andrew Miller. You can do so much with him. And they were cruising. And then last week, the stumble, tough at-bats against Vladdy, and then Sunday's game. It's almost like it was a print and repeat of what had happened a few days prior. What happened in the Sunday meltdown with Whitlock and Slayton?
I think putting guys away with 2 strikes. If you look at the series in Toronto, they got 3 hits on breaking balls with 2 strikes. Same thing happened the next day, the last day of the series, and it happened against Minnesota too. And this is about execution. I don't think it's about game planning. You know, we have to be better in those counts. And if we have to bounce it, we have to bounce it. You know,
right.
These guys, they're too good, especially with slow stuff in the zone. You know, everybody's geared up for the fastball because of they have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. 98, 99. And with two strikes, you either go up, 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 or down, 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 make them chase. I think the best bullpens in the big leagues from the seventh inning on, teams don't put the ball in play against them. They get their punch outs. We're really good about inducing swing and misses. We're not great at getting strikeouts. So hopefully it's going to even out because the stuff is there, but we have to do a better job executing pitches.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. You just mentioned the best bullpens, sit-down lineups in 7, 8, 9. Your offense has been front-loaded in games, the batting averages, the splits, first three innings, last three innings. Aberrational, is there a reason for that? Put a finger on that, concern?
You can look at us being dominant early on. I don't feel that way. I think starters are going six innings against us. And when they go six, you get 7, 8, 9, and it's the high leverage guys. You know, we can do a better job putting starters away. For example, on Sunday, we score early. The pitch count was up, but their guy went six. And then after that, they lined up their relievers, and they did an amazing job.
Yep.
Bullpens at this level, they're elite. You know, it doesn't matter if you have 22 wins or you only have five. You know, they're really good because the stuff is great. I think we have to do a better job getting to the low leverage relievers, right? And that's where the fun starts, and we haven't done that this season.
You mentioned the starting pitching, you know, 16 games in a row where they went five-plus innings except for last night's. That was an issue, the starting pitching to start the season. It feels like it's even down now. Just your thoughts overall on your starting pitch.
They're doing an outstanding job. I saw that stat about quality starts, you know, first time that has happened since 17, I think it was. And if you look at the games, yeah, it makes sense. You know, we've been in games in the sixth inning and seventh inning because of what they have done. This season, as a staff, we've been very aggressive letting them go because if you look at them – when they get to the six, they've been efficient. Their stuff is really good, and they've done their job. And that's the key of surviving 162. If your starters give you six, you're going to be in a good spot. Obviously, the bullpen has struggled as it laid, but things should level out, and we should be okay.
On the starter front, any concern with Crochet with the glancing ball that hit him on Sunday?
No, he's okay. It's funny. I go to the mound with our trainer, and we're very concerned. And he's not bleeding. I went back to Rocky IV, you know,
yeah.
Ivan Drago. I'm like, this guy's a machine, you know. But he did a good job, grinded through it.
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling great either before the game. He was a little bit under the weather. So 5 innings was perfect for us. We had our guys lined up. It just didn't happen.
And how's Walker Buehler doing?
He's doing okay. He played catch yesterday. He's going to do it again today. Probably a bullpen over the weekend. We're shooting probably for the end of the Detroit series or the first series back when we come from Detroit, which is Atlanta or the Mets, I think it is.
You've been very consistent with your messaging. We're a good baseball team. We're going to be a good baseball team. But Ted and I, the old Parcells term is you are what your record says
you are. Yeah.
And right now you're a sub-500 baseball team. How do you sort of bring those two ideas together?
Well, when you look at the division, we're 2.5 games back. It is what it is, right? We're playing under 500, but the division has been bad. You know, everybody thought that we were going to be the NL West, right? Everybody playing over 500. It hasn't happened. You can call it luck, or this is the season we're playing in, right? And we're just 2.5 games back, and we haven't played good baseball.
Masataka Yoshida, it still feels like the shoulder. For him to come up to the big leagues or start playing, get on the roster, does he have to be able to play in the field as well as DH?
Yeah, I mean, he has to play on the field where we at right now. He just had a shot 2 days ago. He's not even swinging now. You know, we have to make sure the shot, you know, does his job, you know, so we just have to be patient with him.
And I'll eschew asking about the kids down at in Worcester just because, you know, I know there's obviously no room for them right now. I've seen the highlights. They're looking great. But last night, it has got to kill you watching Nate Eovaldi pitch so well against you guys time and again, knowing how important he was to you in 2018. He seems to always save his best stuff up against you. And now with Mally tonight, it's not going to be any easier to get the offense back on track.
We've been facing good pitching, too. I mean, people talk about the schedule and playing teams under 500. We face Barrios, we face Ryan, we facing Nate. This guy today, he's a monster too. So he's not easy. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, and this is all over the place. You know, like there's good pitching in the big leagues. We just have to be better with Nate. Hate when he pitches against us. Hate it, you know. But he's my guy, man. What he did for us in 18, second to none. Obviously, all those guys from the starting rotation. And he cares about the city. He still loves it. It just mattered that, you know, Arlington is very close to Houston, and that's home for him.
Yep.
All right, Alex, appreciate you joining us, as you do every week. And good luck tonight. Winning streak starts with one, right?
Let's go. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you next week. Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, here with WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll react to some of the comments from the manager and look ahead to tonight's game, where the Red Sox look to snap a three-game losing streak. That's up next on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I always said that time is our best friend in situations like this. And, you know, this is too recent. Tristan got hurt Saturday, you know, and we got some capable players. Romy's having a good season. Toro, you saw him yesterday. He put some good at-bats. So I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation, but I think for now where we at, I like Rafi as a DH. I like him as my DH. You take away the first weekend of the season, he's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues, and he's doing an outstanding job.
So you're saying there's a chance. Alex Cora here just moments ago, Fenway Park with WEEI Afternoons, talking about his baseball team and the subject that most people within Red Sox Nation are talking about these days, Tristan Casas' season-ending knee injury and what they're going to do at first base. And it's not Devers right now, but time is on their side. And something we were just talking about during the break here, a big reason time is on their side is because they are 2.5 games out. They're 18 and 19, which in some divisions wouldn't be good enough. In this division, you are in second place and you're only 2.5 games behind the leading Yankees.
You've already got people associated with WEEI, like our friends over at the Play Tessie podcast, Boston Sports Gordo, reprinting Alex's quote, "I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation." His analysis, Progress, said he doesn't want to just throw something else at Devers while he gets used to DHing. In my opinion, though, the sooner the better. And I think that opinion represents most opinions in Red Sox Nation right now.
And he also threw out there, if Romy Gonzalez keeps hitting 350, then it might be Romy Gonzalez the whole year, and we're a more athletic team, we're a faster team on the base paths and do things differently. We'll see. Or maybe Abraham Toro and Romy Gonzalez are stopgap measures, and maybe you have to make a move outside the team or within the team, and that's when you go Devers. So there's a lot of possibilities, but I thought that was an interesting interview with the manager. I thought he was more forthcoming than the simple no's that we got yesterday. No. He talked most importantly, I think, for a lot of people, because Fitzy, you, I, and everyone else have been playing Breslow off Cora. Oh, Breslow said this, but Cora said this. Breslow sound open to it. Cora's
there must be something going on awkward, like the way we used to think that Cora and Bloom didn't get along. Nope.
Instead, he offered up, "We have great conversations. Not everybody needs to know what our conversations are about, but we have great conversations." And I actually thought about it in a weird way, kind of like our show. When we start banging out the emails and the text chains, which is weird because we usually have both going simultaneously, and
one day we'll pick one.
Right. But we're all throwing ideas out there. Doesn't mean it'll definitely be in the show, not in the show. Dumb idea.
And don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. It might be in tomorrow's show if it's not in today's show. So if I had one big takeaway from that interview, if you believe him, and you can choose not to, because I know there are a lot of Alex Cora critics out there. If you believe Alex Cora, he has a good working relationship with Craig Breslow, and they'll work their way through this like they will everything else.
Your bullet point takeaways, and again, we'll replay portions of the interview throughout the course of the show, but if you missed it, A, use the Odyssey app, or B, just settle in for a nice afternoon of WEEI Afternoons, and 5 o'clock, we will replay it. My bigger takeaways as well, Andy, might want to get a Romy Gonzalez jersey. No, I got several, actually. Romy Gonzalez sounds like he is the front runner or leader to win the first base job.
His job
right now,
to lose.
So kind of maybe get used to that as well. And like you said, it's basically time's on our side. Translation, the Yankees are not doing anything to drape themselves in glory right now. So the Sox are extremely fortunate.
I don't know how that's going to play, though. There's going to be people that are to say it shouldn't matter what the standings are. That shouldn't matter. It's about today. Let's get this team better today. When he basically alluded by saying what you just mentioned there, Fitzy, and just the fact that they have time is on their side is what he said. And he's basically referencing the standings. So he's telling you, well, because we're only 2.5 games out, we have more time to figure this out and not rush to make a hasty decision. Some people will say, yeah, that makes sense. And some people are going to say that shouldn't matter at all.
I will tell you, he ignited reaction among our listeners. 617-779-7937. Please call, but you're going to get a busy signal until I open up a line because they are loaded reacting to Alex Cora, his comments on Rafi Devers and the rest of the team. So let's go to Dan in New York for a comment on the Devers situation. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, you just said it. You just heard it at the beginning of the when you put it on the show. He just said that, you know, aside from the first week of the season, he's been one of the best players in the game. That's definitely not true. Aaron Judge is a great player in the game. He has 11 home runs. Devers has 5 home runs and is hitting .250. That's definitely not one of the best players in the game. I did not like that comment at all.
All right, thanks for the call, Dan.
All right, Dan.
Realize he went 0 for his first 20.
Yeah.
That's how you end up
with it was the strikeout every other at bat as well.
Oh, it was must-watch TV.
Sadly, it was.
A couple weeks.
I mean, we were actually all sort of like having a laugh about it, but it got more uncomfortable by the game. I would also like to reference, Andy, that not only are our phones full right now reacting to Alex Cora, he's trending post our interview. And
let's go.
Bradfoe, yay baseball, also just put up Alex Cora said about Rafi Devers. I'm not sure we'll have that conversation. To throw something at him would be unfair. I hope Alex doesn't check Bradfoe's comments.
Not good?
Not great, Bob.
Well, I could push back on it.
They're a little mad right now.
There's going to be people that aren't going to like his comments. I mean, I think there's people that feel, again, that they're operating with a lack of, urgency. And his comments, I think, only would fuel the fire to the people that think that.
And, Ted, here's one comment right here in response to Bradfoe's tweet of our conversation with Alex Cora. Mike Zappala, he makes $30 million a year. He's an adult, not a kid playing T-ball. Why can't you ask him?
No, but he's also playing a sport that is, you got to be in the right mindset, everyone says hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do. And if you're effed up, you said, Ted, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air. I hope you don't get mad. But like some players can just go to the sport and leave everything else out there.
Yes.
Some players.
Compartmentalizing.
Yeah. And you said you weren't great at that.
Nope.
If you had issues going on, they kind of if you feel like Devers is starting to hit like you want Devers to hit, like a $30 million hitter, to now, if he's not comfortable, just sort of pull the carpet out from him and ask him to start over? Like, I've been critical of him, but I also get the logic.
I do, too. I do, too. And people say, Alex, a lot of heat. A lot of heat on Alex Cora. A lot of heat, just by how the season's gone so far. People, I think to some degree have to trust that the manager knows, people say, his job is to get him to want to play first. Like, your job is to know what the reaction will be if you force the issue, right? If you push him to do something he's not comfortable with, you might get a reaction that does nobody good.
And
right?
They pay him to know how to do that. They pay him a lot of money.
Right.
$7 million a year to know which buttons to push or not push to be productive, not counterproductive in his actions. 617-779-7937. Tony in Bridgewater, what were your reactions to our little chat with Alex Cora, Tony?
I gotta tell you something right now. I like Cora, but he was blowing smoke so much up you guys' butt. This to listen to this stuff, you gotta be a moron. He's talking about Casas was supposed to hit 30. Who thought Casas was going to hit 35 home runs? They didn't have a backup plan. It's so friggin' ridiculous. They should have got rid of that. I feel bad for the guy, but I never liked Casas. So overrated. He gave him the finger 2 years ago when they offered him some money. Okay? I don't feel bad. I feel bad for the people watching this thing because no backup plan for a guy who sucked the last his whole career he sucked.
Thanks for the call, Tony. I'm not sure what the contract has to do with. He made a decision. He could accept an early contract or bet on himself and say, I'm going to make a lot more money down. So Christian Campbell said, I want the money. That's okay. It's also okay for a guy to bet on himself and think, I'm going to make $400 million.
Mookie Betts did.
Right.
Yep.
Like
Brian Bello didn't. So there's examples
Joe
on
Flacco
both sides.
Did. I cross sports.
What does that have to do with the rest of the situation? I see nothing. Now, Tony's comment that I agree with is, thinking you didn't need a plan B for Tristan Casas was a problem. We talked about it yesterday, having a depth chart, having somebody next in line.
If you looked at the depth chart to start the season, it was, I mean, I remember using the term, it is a embarrassment of riches when it comes to depth, when it comes to at least the middle infield and the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But the two positions that you could argue had the least amount of depth was catcher and first base, and both of them have been affected by injuries to start the season, and neither really option. I mean, they had Narvaez was there at camp, and Sable was there at camp, but first base, it didn't even occur to me to look at the first base depth because of how much they were pumping up, you know, Casas. And here's the guy that you need to have depth with, and it doesn't seem like ready for it.
I mean, a guy like who would ever think that, you know, running to first base and tripping on somebody's foot, Casas would endure one of the worst knee injuries you possibly can. Number one,
game, man.
And number two, your team looks loaded, like it has a bunch of different guys, like Campbell, who he shut down, Devers, etc. And to go with somebody who's like kind of offensively anemic.
Like if the third base, shortstop, or second base, or center field had something happen to him, like happened to Casas, would there be this many issues figuring out who would fill in their spot? No,
none.
Not even close.
There would be none at all. And Fitzy, it's not just the freak injury of he tears his patella tendon.
Right.
We also need to remember before Saturday, we were having the conversations about when does Casas get pulled because he's not that good. He had been bumped down
at least twice.
Fifth, sixth, seventh, not or whatever third. It was over the course of the season.
He was batting below his weight.
So at some point, this was going to be a conversation. It was probably going to be closer to June 1st or Memorial Day or somewhere in that time frame. It got expedited. But you're right, Ted, both. And Narvaez, if you remember, we had Ian Brown from MLB Network on, and we were talking about backup catcher or something, and he didn't really even know how to pronounce his name. He's like, this is the guy it's going to be, but I'm still kind of learning him. So those two positions, and isn't that like Murphy's Law?
Of course.
Like, we got plenty of depth all these places, and those guys are all healthy. We don't have depth here and here, and some bitch.
It's gotten off to us. You have the schedule you have, you know, one of the easiest schedules in Major League.
Yeah.
And your record is what it is. I mean, Alex's counter to that was, but when we played those crappy teams, we were playing their best pitcher. Mm-hmm. And so that impacted it. So there's just a lot of things that have kind of gone wrong to start this season.
And some of it is just the team they're playing again tonight at Fenway Park, the Rangers. They were terrible in Texas to open the season, and you're 1-4 against the Rangers overall. If you're not 1-4 against the Rangers, everything looks different. You might be in first place.
What's the major change that they've really kind of made with this mediocre start? It feels like maybe moving Tristan up the, mm-hmm. the depth chart. Okay, up the batting order.
Oh, yeah, that's been nothing dramatic.
Nothing dramatic. Look, go conversely. Look what the Texas Rangers have done. They have almost the exact same record that the Red Sox do. They're 18-18. They played one less game.
Yeah.
They fired the hitting coach.
Yep.
And you could argue that the hitting for the Red Sox is worse than the hitting for the Rangers, and it's still status quo. Like, to me, there's going to be a time here pretty soon where it's something like that, a decision like that, that's going to need to be taken to shake up things. And you saw how the Rangers hit last night. So the new hitting coach is working out pretty good.
10 hits in 3 2/3 inning. Giolito, we will give a pass to as well. They need a big start out of Houck tonight. Let's shoot.
He just gave you a big start, and you blew it.
You need another
Your
big
guys. Run out.
I know they did. And did you hear also when I asked him about that? At least I asked him about my guys taking ownership that I like Slayton and love Whitlock. And he accused. He said they both are leaving junk up when they get two strikes. You can't hang cheese when you're up 0-2, 1-2. Like, those have to be out pitches. He said you need high heat or you need it down in the dirt. They're not dirting the ball. They're getting too clever. So
them that
is maybe everyone overthinking things a bit, like a measure too much on the Red Sox, like internally, not us.
No, I don't think so.
So why are these guys throwing strikes when they're up 0-2 and 1-2?
I mean, I think they're missing
spots.
They're missing terribly.
They're missing spots, but that's part of baseball too. And also, you know, as good as you think they are. Slayton is not Aroldis Chapman. He hasn't been doing this for 15 years where you're like, he knows.
He just got off to a good start. And all of a sudden, these expectations were that he's going to be this way.
Right. Like, that's not really fair to extrapolate on that and say that's a full 162.
He was a huge question mark going into spring training.
Right. And he may come back around, and maybe the good stuff is more likely over the course of a full 162. But, I don't think you penciled him in to be lights out wire to wire this year. And the other thing is, I keep saying it, I think if they all got bumped down a role, you know, I'm not going to say the name that everybody knows I want them to acquire, but if everybody got bumped down a role, this bullpen could be dominant. And it might be the thing that I would say, hang your hat on your bullpen. But as Alex Cora said, you should have a good bullpen. Even bad teams have good bullpens. If you get to the good bullpen, that's going to make offense tough for the other team. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Danny in the car. What's up, Danny?
I think Casa certainly is a 30-plus home run hitter, whether with the Sox or...
It is an unfortunate injury. I'm not sure I agree with Danny that we know that Casas is a 30 home run major leaguer. First of all, we throw numbers
One half season a couple years ago.
I don't even know how many batters total hit 30 home runs each of the last 3 years. Because to me, if you're a 30 home run guy, you don't do it once. It means on average over a span of 3 to 4 to 5 years, you average 30 home runs every year. I'm not willing to say Tristan Casas with that. And that's why the one thing I keep pushing back on is, okay, Romy Gonzalez, he's not good enough to be the first baseman for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, says who, though?
And the last first baseman wasn't good. You're not replacing a good first baseman.
Right.
You're replacing a first baseman wanted replaced.
And here's the thing. You're going to say, okay, you're going to give up power with Romy Gonzalez in there? Okay, but there's some things you gain.
Right.
Probably better defense and more athleticism at first base now.
Mm-hmm. And on the base paths. I mean, when Tristan
got to get on base.
Tristan Casas, when he was on base, was the way I played Parcheesi. You make that wall and don't let anybody pass. Oh, like, oh my God.
Like a big outboard boat.
He's just lumbers.
He's the Prius in the high-speed lane doing 58.
That's what it is.
And it's always a Prius.
It's a big Prius.
When his bat is on, he's got power. So, Romy doesn't have that same thing. So you're giving up something, but you're also getting something as well.
What is the percentage of what Alex Cora just said to us here? What is your percentage of faith that Romy Gonzalez keeps playing so well that we stop having conversations and just say Romy Gonzalez is the starting first baseman of the Boston Red Sox in May, June, July?
It's hard for me to go out on a limb and
untrue. I don't think it happens.
I think it's a low percent. I think it could happen. Yeah,
I think
15%.
I'll put it that way.
It's
not out of the question.
Like this happens.
I think he's more. I think he can be serviceable and buy you time until you ultimately figure it out.
Right, and it happens. Like obviously, a lot of our knowledge background is football related. Like sometimes Bill Belichick got lucky, and something that he thought was going to work didn't.
I can give you a million examples.
Well, I'll give you my favorite example.
I imagine
a million.
When Lawyer Malloy was cut. I believe that's the time. Antoine Smith started against the Bills. They thought Antoine Harris was going to be the next safety. He was terrible. Putrid. They took Eugene Wilson, who was supposed to be the corner, moved him to safety, and he ended up having like 4 really good years at safety. Mm-hmm. He became one of the better free safeties in football and a good player in the back end of that defense. That wasn't the plan. The plan didn't work. Then they went to plan B, and plan B happened to be a better plan than plan A. Yeah. So what plan B is, because you guys are all assuming Romy Gonzalez, if it's plan A, that's not a long-term plan. That's a duct tape. And
I would bet against it.
And I'm not ruling out
WD-40. I think it's going to be Devers. I am more confident today. I wanted Devers. You guys know that my plan is very simple. Take the third baseman, move him to first, teach him first. He's athletic enough. I am more optimistic that that's going to end up being the plan today because of what Alex Cora said and the way he said it than I was when this show started.
You might be right. It just real quick, Fitz, it is interesting, though, to hear how Alex describes the transition from third to first. It ain't easy as we all think it is, or maybe how if you listen to Lou Morlone and Kevin Millar last night say, basically, you know, you just – It's the easiest position to transition into. So a lot of Major League Baseball players are saying one thing. Alex says it a different way. And so you're like, that's hard to square that up.
To that point, Ted, actually, yes and on that, would be that Cora said, hey, you know, on every play, the three people that kind of have to always be involved and focused, pitcher, catcher, and first baseman. That made me think for a second.
Focus part?
Yes.
Yeah.
That made me think for a second. Is Devers going to be over there like – you know, looking at flies or looking at people in the outfield and
little leaguer?
Is there like a little league focus fact? Honest to God,
butterfly.
Grasshopper.
That could be like a legitimate. Oh yeah. Oh, hot dogs, popcorn. I'd love some. Raffy, focus.
The word focus. I thought for a sentence he was going to say, those guys are involved in every play, and then he said focus.
I feel you better be ready for a third base and be focused, or else you're getting one right.
You get killed. Absolutely. So, Alex Cora, lots of interesting things to say. We'll continue to play those throughout the show here on WEEI Afternoons. And reminder, at 5 o'clock, we will re-rack the Alex Cora interview. Coming up on 3 o'clock here, though, it is time for our three-point stances. And some of you are going to roll your eyes at mine because it feels like I go back to this well a little too often. But I think the Celtics need to go back to this well tonight. I'll tell you that up next here on WEEI Afternoons.